This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Jaren Confusion. I'm your host, Amanda. I'm Andrew.
Hi, Andrew. He's trying to be funny. He's a bit of a comedian now.
What do you mean trying? And what do you mean now?
You've always tried to be a bit of a comedian.
No, I always have been.
Always have been, have you? Hey, look, it's great to be back here, Andrew.
It is.
Last week we didn't record. We were too busy enjoying the annual Christmas party, where we got to network with some wonderful people. Big shout out to them if anybody's listening to us today. So, yeah, what are you doing?
This controller panel, it has screws holding each module down.
Oh, okay.
So I just fiddle with them.
Oh, well, I've got a mic at the moment that fades in and out, and I thought that you were being... you know, bit of a tease today.
It shouldn't.
No, well, I was...
No, I'm just...
No, it's the wire. It's every time it moves.
No, I'm touching the screws.
Yeah, so as I was saying, it was great to catch up with everybody. A good opportunity to come in and say hi and see who else is out there. We don't get to see or hear from each other very often, do we?
Yeah, I feel like we have a pretty isolated recording slot.
Yeah.
Friday afternoon
at the end of the day. But it was lovely to catch up everyone and see who else is out there. So, as I said, big shout out to everyone.
Yeah.
Well and truly into the end of year celebrations now, reflecting on the past and what the future.
Bit of the Christmas spirit.
Andrew's very pleased because now he's 18. He doesn't have to.
People don't care.
People don't care anymore. But we thought we'd carry on a little theme that we started a couple of years ago that we brought back to life a couple of weeks ago. And as we're at the tail end of the year and we're reflecting on the year, it would be a good one to go back to, and that is
1992.
Yes, so...
What we mean is our series of talking about big events through the ages.
Yes, and if I recall the last time before we did 1990-91, which was my first year and second year at Teachers College, and 92 was my third year. I had to do a quick count on my fingers there. Was my final year at Teachers College, quite a big year for me. As far as a teacher trainee goes, we had our big teaching placements, which lasted for like 10 weeks, and we were pretty much full control of a class for the whole term two. So that was pretty big. But there were some big things that were happening on in 1992, And I'd forgotten about this because it was all just part of what was happening at the time. And we changed from first past the post in our electoral system. The first past the post is how we used to vote.
Right.
So whatever party got the most votes was the party that was in.
Ah.
So if National got the most most votes, the Prime Minister and the party were the ruling party. If it was so whoever got the most won the race, and then they changed that to we voted it in for the mixed member MMP, mixed member proportional.
So the government could be a larger majority, one party, but the government would actually be made up of multiple parties.
It could be, yes. So
and coalitions, those exist.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I don't know if people truly understood what it all stood for, but I think...
It's because they didn't take Year 10 Social Studies, Mum.
Probably not. I certainly enjoyed the old politics on the night. It was more exciting. when we were busy working out who was going to be first past the post. And it was a real race to see who was going to get in. Whereas with the mixed member, you could vote in who you wanted to be your prime minister, and then you could vote in who you wanted to be your party.
Which makes sense, because not all the time you want your MP to be part of the party that is making up a lot of the government.
Yeah, and I suppose, yeah, that's pretty true. So it was a little bit of a different time, and it certainly took a little bit. I wasn't of the age where I was worrying about voting, so it didn't really worry me too much.
I get to vote next year.
You get to vote next year.
I can vote now, but there is an election. There isn't an election in the end of 2025.
Well, that's right. And look, I'm having some technical issues here on my end of the...
Is your phone lagging, not responding?
Yeah, it's not scrolling.
Yeah, that is a bug. It happens on me as well. I'm pretty sure it's because we haven't updated to the latest version.
Oh, could I suppose it could
Macintosh.
Be.
Macintosh. Not Macintosh, iPhone operating system.
Macintosh. Yeah, I suppose so.
Macintosh operating system, that's used on, called Mac OS.
Yes.
That was a big thing in the 90s as well. It wasn't Mac OS yet, but it was Apple OS.
You steered clear of Apple back in the 90s, as far as I was concerned. That was something you steered clear of. But... Oh, now I've lost my thread, Andrew. Now I've lost my thread. I'm going to get back in there. Here we go. Something else that was pretty big back in 1992, which, again, I had very little interest in, but it might interest you, and that was Shortland Street started.
One thing we didn't cover about 1991 is the death of Freddie Mercury.
Oh, no, we didn't.
No, Freddie Mercury died that year.
Yes.
September, I think.
Again, I'm such a big Freddie fan, but that had happened probably in the late 1990s, around 98, 99, or maybe even 94. I think I'm actually trying to wonder why all of a sudden I became more of a Freddie Mercury fan than when he was alive. And I wonder if it was because of his death.
Probably.
And that might have, because I think it gave a resurgence to his music. So I probably got swept up in that sort of a second recall of his music.
Probably.
And certainly after he died, his music was a lot more... appropriate to be listening to, whereas when I was at high school in the, you know, 89, you were considered to be a rebel if you listened to Freddie Mercury, whereas I think after his death, he and the fact that he'd done Live Aid,
yeah,
made him far more
mainstream. And his type of music, do you know what that's called today?
No.
Dad rock.
Well,
classic rock.
He was pretty inspirational.
No, but I bet you liked the Beatles.
No, I didn't. I was not a Beatle person. I was actually, to be honest, before I really got into Freddie Mercury, it was...
The Wiggles.
No, that's just been disrespectful to me now.
The Wiggles make good music.
Billy Joel, Cliff Richards.
I don't know who he is.
No, you probably wouldn't know who he was. Paul McCartney. Wings, Paul McCartney. I was a fan of Paul McCartney, not of the Beatles, but I was a big fan of Paul McCartney. So
that makes sense. A lot of the Beatles music I like is written and sung by Paul McCartney.
So I had Paul McCartney's CDs from his Wings, from when he was with his group Wings. Yeah. So, yes.
Bruce Springsteen?
No.
Bon Jovi?
No.
Not Bon Jovi.
No, I got into Bon Jovi probably around the same time I got back into Queen, and that when it became, they became more mainstream again. Yeah. I think I think probably because I was in my early 20s in the 90s, And music was becoming a lot more easily available because we'd had – there was far more easy access to CDs. And by that stage, I had a CD player, whereas up until that point, my family had a record player or a cassette player. We didn't have CD players. So we couldn't listen easily to that music, and you were pretty much determined by what music you listened to, by what was on the radio.
Yeah.
And my family weren't big.
I can't do that. I hate driving your car because it doesn't have Spotify on it.
Yeah. So your choices were pretty much determined by what was on the radio. And I very much did my teenage years in the 1980s, and that was, as we've talked about before, the time of the one-hit wonders, the boy bands, the one songs.
You could have always gone down to the library and made a mixtape.
And no, I couldn't have because the libraries didn't have. I used to go to the teachers' college and get their records, go to my auntie's house who had a record player, play the records on her record player and copy the tracks onto my cassette player.
Yeah.
As you could imagine, though, the sound quality probably wasn't the best.
No.
So my best way of copying music was either copying it off the radio, and you had to get the timing right, or you got the announcer's voice, or off records, which weren't quite so good. And it wasn't until I had my first job and I was earning money could I afford to buy CDs, which were expensive.
Yeah.
We're looking at like $20 for one CD, which...
Oh, that's cheap.
Well, it's cheap.
These days they're 40, 50, 80.
Well, no, I'm going to put it into context.
Mom, you do this every week.
I know. I'm sorry.
I get inflation and all, but...
When I was... I did buy a few CDs when I was at... high school, and I had a berry picking job. So this was 1988, 89, leading into the 90s. Going through the 90s because in 1991, 92, I was working at the berry farm picking berries, and I was saving to go to university, saving to get through, pay for my next year. But I used to give myself a little treat. And I'd save some of it to go towards buying a CD. And I might get $100 a week for berry picking. And a $20 CD, that was quite a big chunk out of your week's earnings. So,
for those that don't know, CD stands for compact disc.
Thank you, Andrew. What else was going on in 1992? I came down to Palmerston North in 1992 for the vet ball. No. I had a friend who lived down here, Terry, and he was training to be a vet, and he invited me to come to the vet ball. That would have been in May, I think it was. I came down by train. I caught the overnight train to Palmerston North, and this was before I knew that I was going to be coming to Palmerston North and getting a job here.
You weren't going to avoid Palmy, were you?
Well, Palmy was very much, I've had a number of, I would say, fated moments with Palmerston North. We came here when I was about 8. My parents came down here for the Navigator course. Palmerston's not really a place you spot, but I seem to.
It's not a place you pass through.
No, and I also came here in 1990. I stayed here in 1990, and I probably stayed here in 1991 with my friend Rose, who was at Massey University, and I stayed with her in 1990 up at the Halls of Residence.
So you already kind of knew your way around Palmerston North by the time you moved here?
Well, not really, because Massey's out.
Oh, yeah, I know. But.
And I never really left the Massey complex. But when I came down to the Massey ball in 1992, I had to go and pick up a few things, and I borrowed a bike and rode around Palmerston North on a push bike.
Was it? I'm guessing it wasn't as dangerous back then.
It was so windy. Yeah. And it was a long bike ride. My friend Terry, he had, he was living on one of the farms just out of Massey. And it was a decent ride. And so I was pretty tired, if I recall, after that bike ride. But, yeah, I knew. I'd been to Palmerston with a friend to see Rose, and I did know the city a little bit, but not very much. But I certainly had no plans on coming here.
Or living here.
Or living here.
And staying here for 30, almost 40 years.
Yes. And, in fact, when I came to Palmerston North in 1993, my friend Terry had finished. He was now a trained vet. So he had left Massey University, and my friend Rose had got a degree and left as well. So everybody I knew left Palmerston North in 1992. It was so cool. what else happened? So we had Shortland Street. It wasn't interested in Shortland Street. The reason for that was one of the first purchases I made here in 1992 was a TV. Bought it from a supermarket.
A supermarket? Which one?
It was Pack and Save.
Pack and Save?
Yes.
The cheap one?
Yes.
Sold TVs.
It was pretty radical, actually.
How expensive was it?
It must have been about, it was relatively expensive for me, considering that my mum used to send me $20 a fortnight for petrol.
$800,
$900? No. It would have been about $150, maybe $200. Really, it was a little tiny box TV, really cheap. My principal had told me to go along to the supermarket and buy it.
Go along to the supermarket while you're doing your weekly shop and get a TV.
He'd seen one there and he said, you won't get one any cheaper, and because I was living on my own, and he said, that'll be great for you. And it was. It was very helpful, excepting it had little bunny ears, so I used to have to put the tinfoil on them. And the reception was shocking.
Did the bunny yeah.
They were called bunny ears. They were aerials.
It took a while for me to woo that one out, Mum.
Yeah.
I haven't grown up in the world of bunny ears.
No.
I've grown up in the world of Netflix.
Yes.
And surprisingly VHS as well.
So 92 was a big year for me because that was the year I...
Got your first TV?
Well, I moved to Palmerston North. I'd got my driver's license 2 weeks before I moved to Palmerston North. I had 4 weeks... Basically, 6 weeks notice that I was coming to Palmerston North, and my parents came down with me to help me find a flat before I moved down.
And you drove down, didn't you?
I drove down, and I had never driven.
Did you put the car into neutral going down hills?
Yeah, I did. I had been told, I don't know who told me.
Wasn't it your grandfather?
Well, my sister thinks it might have been my grandfather because he was very much a man to save money. And for some bizarre reason, because I was only 21 when I came to Palmerston North, and I hadn't really left home because my parents had gone to Hamilton and when I went to Teachers College. And so I couldn't go into the halls of residence, so I basically lived with them. And I don't know why, but I'm absolutely convinced that going down the hills, you had to put the car into neutral. And it was so scary. I just remember driving.
You would have really broken the speed limit there.
Oh, no, I had the brake. The brakes were working full.
Oh, that's good.
But yes, so 92 was a big year, and we managed to find myself a flat in Amberley Ave, a converted garage actually, and
like mother like son,
yeah, and so Shortland Street came on, but I never watched Shortland Street. I remember all the fuss that went with it. I think I might have watched the first season.
I don't like it. It's too soapy.
Yeah. I never really,
I enjoy a good TV drama.
Yeah.
But Shortland Street and Coronation Street and those other ones are too soapy.
Yes.
They're just like, I guess people like it because it's just stick a camera in people's lives and over-dramatize it.
Well, I
kind
I,
of, but.
I just had too many things. I just had too many questions going on in my head. And for me.
Mum, you know they get solved 20 years later in season 20 something. You know that, right?
but. We didn't have emergency – I mean, we didn't have emergency clinics like what Shortland Street was based around. We had doctor's rooms.
Yeah.
And I couldn't work out why they had the whole setup just didn't seem to fit in. I thoroughly enjoyed and had been watching Young Doctors. That was an Australian soap. And that was based around a hospital. And as the title says, Young Doctors. And Shortland Street was a similar story, but was based around an emergency almost
clinic,
but it was also seemed like it was like a hospital, but they only had like three beds in it.
Right.
And you know, they had wards, but.
It's a hospital now.
Yeah.
It's Shortland Street Hospital.
Yes, and it was I wasn't quite sure if it was a hospital or an emergency room, and I just really.
The reason, I guess the reason that sums up why I don't like Shortland Street is the silences. How can you have an entertaining TV show when you have uncomfortable silences, when people just stop talking? That should cut to a new scene.
Yeah.
That carries the story on.
And they did brilliant cliffhangers in Shortland Street. They had the most, you know, they would have this, the season would end with the top two protagonists driving off a cliff.
Kissing or something.
How could anything come back from that?
But they do.
But yeah, sure enough.
Turned out not to be a cliff, it was a hill.
Yeah, or they would wake up from a bad dream or they survived it. Or they always killed off you'd have two people were in a relationship and it was just the most wonderful, caring relationship. And you just can't have that on, and so you have to kill one of them. You know, and usually they'd got married and had the wedding of the year.
Yeah, and one of them was pregnant.
And it got pregnant and died in childbirth. So then you'd have a baby, which would now create another storyline, but you'd got rid of the lovey-dovey story because now.
And then one day that baby just disappears.
Well, no.
You never see it again.
No, the baby, they all grew up, but, you know, it was just like, I just was like,
Well, if you enjoyed this episode of us talking about Shortland Street.
Well, it was part of 1992. I'd forgotten all about it, but.
Yes, the highlight of the 90s was Shortland Street.
Well, it's still going on.
So is Coronation Street.
Yeah, I know, but hey, I guess I lost the interest in Shortland Street.
But you know what Coronation Street gave us? Queen and Drag.
What?
You know, I Want to Break Free music video?
Oh, yeah.
That's what Coronation Street gave us.
Oh, okay.
A good music video.
Okay. And I didn't even know it came from there.
And technically Radio Gaga music video.
Okay. Yeah. Come on with your outro.
Oh, I could take some time. I could go on a ramble about how I loved 2018 because the guy who played Charlie in the 2005 adaptation of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory became an autistic doctor, you know? All right. If you enjoyed this episode, you can go listen to other episodes on Spotify. You can search up Duration Fusion, or you can go to npr.nz/shows/fusion, and you can find it there. Also, if you'd like to get some behind-the-scenes content, you can go to facebook.com and search up Duration Fusion. On my end, Instagram's a bit iffy right now, but you can go and get some content on Instagram by searching up Duration Fusion. And if you want to help us continue to make content and continue to make better content, you can go to givealittle.co.nz/org/NPR. And that just goes to the studio to keep it on air, to keep it a public radio station, you know, and help us continue to make content. Because if it wasn't, well, then we wouldn't be able to make this. Anything you feel like adding?
No, you're doing a brilliant job.
Get off the phone.
I'm writing up the topic for our today's episode. Actually working.
Yeah, browsing stuff, looking at the latest articles. Anyway, we'll see you all next week.
Bye. Bye.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.